This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. The 15th anniversary of 9/11 passed yesterday with remembrances and ceremonies, reflections on the attack, 15 years of combating terrorism since, and also concerns over the health of Hillary Clinton, who left a memorial service at Ground Zero here in New York, looking wobbly, even passing out before she got in a van. Later in the day, her doctor said that Clinton had been diagnosed with pneumonia on Friday and told to rest. She didn't rest, and, well, the nation saw the result. Hillary Clinton has now canceled campaign trips for the next couple of days. We'll have more on the evolving history of presidential health and health disclosure coming up. Meanwhile, during those remembrances and during these elections, the hard practicality of Middle East geopolitics plays out beyond American borders. Secretary of State John Kerry announced that the United States and Russia came to an agreement for a hopeful ceasefire in Syria that is supposed to go into effect today. Now, both the U.S. and Russia have agreed to join forces against Islamic jihadists in Syria, where that civil war has raged for 5 years, displacing millions of people. This is part of a new plan that will require a 7-day ceasefire in Aleppo and other besieged areas. David Sanger is national security correspondent for our partner, The New York Times.
It sounds less than a full ceasefire. The main thing is it's supposed to last for 7 consecutive days before the next part of the plan kicks in. So that means genuine reduction of violence and humanitarian access into Aleppo and other besieged areas. Then after that moment, the United States and Russia begin working on targeting specific al-Nusra and Islamic State targets. They've already got their maps together. This shouldn't take them very long. And at the moment that they start attacking those, Assad's planes are supposed to stay completely grounded. They are not supposed to be attacking anything other than the Islamic State. And even that is going to be highly discouraged. The idea here is to keep Assad from bombing civilians under the pretense that he's just going after al-Nusra, which was the weakness of the last system.
And it seems, David, like the basic idea of this plan is to sort of get some of the sides in this morass separated so that the Russians and the Americans can focus fire on their common enemies.
That's right. And that means disentangling the opposition groups the United States has been supporting from al-Nusra. They are frequently, in a lot of cities, including in Aleppo, marbled in. Now, sometimes they're marbled in because they like each other, and sometimes they're marbled in because they can't stand each other and they've been battling among themselves. And that's essentially the big weakness of any of these plans. You know, it seems when you first look at the headlines that this is more like something from the Cold War. The United States and Russia come together and reach an agreement. The difficulty is that there are so many other parties here, Iranians and their Shiite fighters, the Saudis, many other opposition groups, some of which the United States supports and some which we do not.
And is this supposed to help solve the problem from the American perspective of the Russians claiming to go after ISIS targets when, in fact, they've been bombing factions on the ground that are friendly to American interests?
Well, that's what the joint targeting is all about. At the same time, the Pentagon has opposed this joint targeting provision because they're afraid it teaches the Russians too much about how the United States identifies and executes against targets. So, of course, you've got a Pentagon that's dealing with Russia in much more hostile ways in many other parts of the world, and they're having a hard time getting their head around cooperating with them in this particular case. But Secretary Kerry, you have to give him credit, persevered on this and won that argument in the White House on the basis that anything you could do to keep Syrians from getting killed was worth doing.
And so if this does work, though, David, it might keep Assad away from civilians for a while. That's the hope. The bottom line for the U.S. is partly that and partly targeting ISIS effectively. Are they targetable even if this agreement works? Can they be significantly weakened from the air by this combination of Russian and American air power?
I think they could be because they're on the run as it is. They've lost a lot of territory, as you've seen. They don't have any real air defenses of any kind. The question is, what do you do when they reabsorb back into dense population areas where you simply won't want to target them from the air. And we have heard President Obama and both candidates for president say they don't want to put in ground troops. So there is only so much you can do from the air. But as you've seen, the ISIS territory, at least, is shrinking. That doesn't mean the ISIS problem is shrinking.
David Sanger, national security correspondent for The New York Times. Thanks again.
Thank you, Todd.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.